in the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie. Come on.
Okay, first of all, the world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to hour, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bowker.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talk, and Bouts happy to have on Carrington Banks, has a big fight coming up against Adam Piccolotti, that going at Bellator 199, and that's happening May 12th. How's it going there, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just wondering if you feel like there's a sense of momentum heading into this fight. It seems like you've been getting a lot of traction so far in your Bellator career. I mean, 3-0 up until this juncture. Are you feeling like you're getting some good traction and comfortability with the promotion?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always nice to step in the promotion and get a few wins. You know, it's definitely better than losing. And obviously, after win, they start to take you a little bit more serious. They start to pay a little bit more attention to you. And, you know, that was all a part of the plan to really show people, show Bellator what I was capable of. And I felt like I've been doing that so far. So I'm really happy, you know, to keep the momentum going and keep it going through May 12th.
Yeah, and I was curious on your thoughts on this Piccolotti fight here, because Adam Piccolotti at one point was, you know, kind of similar to you, and as far as, like, he was an unbeaten fighter, but he kind of had a couple setbacks. But I heard you in a prior interview say you don't necessarily think, you know, having that O off your record is, like, you know, the biggest thing necessarily. Obviously, you don't want to lose, but it's not like an end-of-the-world type of situation. Do you feel like those narratives are going to, you know, start phasing out of MMA in the next few years? Because even, you know, the greatest fighters in the sport seem to take a loss eventually.
I don't know how that was interpreted, but I don't plan on losing anytime soon. Like,
oh no,
winning is important.
Like, I'm just saying it's not like that.
No, I know. I'm just saying in general, like, I think winning is important. Like, you know, I think that winning puts you in a position to get titles and get the biggest fights, and it shows that, you know, something like you said, fighting is such a sport that it's hard to always win, you know, but I don't plan on losing anytime soon either. Like you said, so there's guys with losses on their records who are the champions and who are the baddest dudes in the world, and after that one loss, they never lose again. So I think it's different for every individual. You know, some losses break people, and they never end up recovering from it. Some losses make people better, and, you know, they never want to lose again, so they train even harder. And some people never lose, like Khabib, you know. So
yeah,
I think everybody's just a little bit different, you know. Like, it just depends on the person.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I was noticing that you have quite a wrestling pedigree, you know, wrestling your whole life and all that, but I was seeing some highlights in recent fights, like the connectivity with the hands and getting things going there. So I'm wondering how satisfying that is, just being, you know, so steeped in one certain discipline for a while. Like, how exciting is it to, you know, start from scratch with a new discipline, and then now, you know, it's not a start from scratch. You already have, like, a founding under you and everything like that. And I guess just how exciting is it to find measurable success within this relatively newer kind of martial art for you?
Yeah, man, it's nice because, like you said, when you come from one martial art and then you add others, you know, it's hard to put it together, and it's hard to be confident because there's so many areas that you're not, you know, experienced in, and you don't have that same type of experience as some other guys. So, you know, just over time, being able to grow and be confident in my striking or my jiu-jitsu and my grappling or just my IQ in general, being raised, like you said, it is exciting, and it builds confidence. You know, once you start seeing things and understanding things, it allows you to be able to be more confident when you go out there and you fight, and it ultimately allows you to be more relaxed and loose and show off your skills. And that's what I plan on doing this fight, you know, because I feel like that experience, these fights, and the experience of having the previous fights have led me to where I'm at, and I feel like I'm more confident and more experienced than I've ever been. So, like you said, it does feel good. It feels good.
Yeah, and I imagine some of that confidence also comes from training with the caliber of guys you do over at Black Zillions and just the different looks you get in general. I mean, I see you with Abel Trujillo quite a bit, and also training with Michael Chandler and everything like that. So how important is, you know, that part of the process too?
It's important. There's a point, you know, when you're training with those guys and you're like, I'm training with the best in the world. So any guy that I fight is not going to worry me because there's nothing that they can do to me that I haven't seen. You know, like, they're not going to be tougher than, obviously, the best guys in the world. So it's a confidence builder, you know. I'll say that much. As far as skills go, it doesn't raise your skills that much. I think that my skills came when I met Neil Melanson, you know, and I started working with him, and him just giving me tactics and knowledge on the game has changed my confidence completely. And like I said, training with the best guys in the world will definitely build your confidence and let you know where you stand amongst the division or the best in the world. But then once you start finding your own identity and you start understanding the sport and understanding the tactics and everything involved, then that's a whole nother level of confidence. Because then you start saying that I'm going to go out and use my tactics against the best guys in the world, you know, the whoever is the best, you know. And it's eventually, you know, like training with the best guys in the world, if you're training with the best and then you go fight the best, you know, like, I don't know how much confidence that really builds because you're still fighting the toughest guys in the world. But knowing that you know what to do in every situation, that's more of a confidence builder to me than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's good to have people like that in your corner, just like coaches and just, you know, real cerebral individuals on that end. But I was noticing you have quite a history in Iowa there. Like, you got your first few amateur fights and first few pro fights there. And then obviously, you know, Iowa Central Community College, kind of you going out of there with the wrestling and everything like that. So I'm kind of curious, like, what's the ideal outcome for you? Like, would you rather have Bellator put on a card in Iowa, or would you rather live up to your jet setter nickname and, you know, kind of fly around the world and check out these places?
Yeah, both, really. I would love to fight in Iowa. Like, I would love to be able to fight in Iowa. That would be awesome, you know, because that's where I started and that's where I have a lot of support, you know. Like I said, that's where I started, and a lot of people still do to this day support me very strongly from Iowa, Illinois too. So to be able to go there and to be able to fight in a different light, you know, and them seeing me when I was, you know, doing the smaller cards and I didn't have a name, that would just be like, it would be a special moment, you know, for me. Because it would just be a testament to how far I've come in. But like you said, I'm the jet setter, so I definitely want to go travel and put on a show and everywhere across the country, anywhere that I could possibly go, you know, and jet set too and whoop some ass. So I like both, really. You know, I want to fight in Iowa and I want to fight overseas as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that kind of is an aspect of the mental game too, because certain guys maybe, you know, don't prefer fighting at home. Like, it's like a, you know, big pressure on them. Like, they'd rather be on the road, but it seems like you get some great performances at home. But also on the international travel end, I mean, you had that fight that was supposed to go Bellator 176 in Italy. So I imagine, you know, maybe that was a bit of a bummer too, but it seems like good things are in the future coming up.
Yeah, that definitely was a bummer. I was looking forward to that one very much. What'd you say about the future though?
Oh, I'm just saying, it seems like the future looks bright, though. I mean, it seems like you got a lot of options on the table.
Yeah, well, you know, it all boils down to me doing my thing on May 12th. You know, like, if I do my thing like I'm capable of on May 12th, then, yeah, all the opportunities will be there, you know, and the momentum will keep going, and I'll keep moving up and up, you know, onward. So that's why I always keep things in perspective and focus on what's really important, because, you know, it's nice to fight at home and it's nice to fight overseas and do all these things, but, you know, you can't get too wrapped up in the lifestyle. You got to focus on, you know, like, why you got in the lifestyle. And why I got in the lifestyle was to be a champion and be the best. So, like I said, it's nice, it's cool, and I enjoy it, but I don't get too lost in it.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to be. I mean, you got to be present in the moment and everything like that. And part of being present in the moment is, you know, getting some good tunes when you're training and everything like that. Seems like you're big into hip hop. I noticed you're big into, like, you know, Kid Cudi and ASAP Rocky and stuff like that, but also Tupac seems big as well. Is that like the usual stuff you're training to for the most part, or do you kind of like go into some other genres as well?
I'm all over the place, but ASAP Rocky is my dude. Kid Cudi's my dude. Wiz, Currency, All those guys, I listen to them on a daily, but I listen to everything. I listen to rock. I used to listen to country when I lived in Iowa.
But now, right on.
yeah, I listen to Erykah Badu. I listen to Janae Aku. I listen to old soul music. I listen to classic rock. It just depends on my mood, really. But on the regular, it's Wiz, it's ASAP, it's Currency, it's Cudi.
No, man, that's all stuff I dig as well. And I noticed you got your first knockout, right, then you came out to A Brand New Guy by ASAP. Is that maybe something you're going to bring in the future?
What'd you say?
Oh, I was just saying, Brand New Guy, you got your first knockout that night. Is that, you know, maybe a track you're going to break out again in the future? Maybe that luck will translate again.
Oh, yeah. I definitely plan on breaking that track out again sometime in the future. Yeah, that was an awesome night. And that was, at that time, that was when ASAP Rocky first came out with that mixtape. So, like, I was, like, heavy, like, on ASAP Rocky. That was when he first jumped on the scene. So, yeah, that was definitely an awesome night for me and a special moment. And that song, like you said, it just sits there. It has a special place in my heart because of that night. And I fuck for ASAP Rocky music heavy, so. But yeah, that was awesome. That was a great night, and that song is the bomb.
Yeah, I know a lot of big songs you probably come out to as well, like Lamborghini High. Like maybe just get like an ASAP Mob posse cut going on in the future. But I also like.
Yeah.
No, I know you're big into like super.
If I'm coming out to Lamborghini High, I'm coming out in a robe and some flip flops, like.
I gotta be cozy
if I'm coming out to the Lamborghini High. But I definitely plan on coming out to some more ASAP Rocky songs. I'm such a music head that I'm very selective and choosy about the song that I come out to. Like I'm like, it's like I'm putting the album together. Like when I'm putting the fight, it's like, all right, it's got to be this song. Like this is the perfect song for the night. So, yeah, like I'm very choosy about when I choose the songs that I really like to come out to. So some of my favorite songs I haven't came out to because I'm waiting for the right moment.
No, I totally hear you. If I was a fighter, that would be like such a meticulous part of the process.
Right?
You know,
it's not time for some of the songs yet. It ain't time yet. Wait for some of the songs I'm saving for the title shot.
No, that's good, man. I'm looking forward to that. But I also noticed you're big into like a lot of the video games that I'm into as well, like Super Smash Brothers and Blitz and stuff like that. I mean, Blitz is just so funny. Like,
oh,
you guys lit on fire and like you leg drop dudes and stuff like that. How good is that to like unwind from training though and like leading up to the fight just to, you know, get in that realm?
I mean, I love N64. I love Blitz, Mario Kart, Smash Bros, all those games. We're like, me and my roommates, I live with Abel Trujillo. I used to live with Sean Soriano and Erwin Rivera. So we were like all like, and it's four controllers. So we were like all like pro players when it came to the certain N64 games. So like when we're all fighters and we're pretty good at it. So when we would be like a week, two out, some of us couldn't even play the game because if we lost, we would get to it. You know, it just fuck up your whole day. You know, it just fuck up your whole day. So it's like, fight week, I'm staying away from the game, you know, because I ain't trying to lose. But, yeah, no, we love to play. It's definitely good to just take your mind off of training or, you know, just put your mind somewhere else, have a little fun and do something else, you know, like N64 and those games will never get old to me or us. That's cool, though. That's cool that you like all those games and artists.
No, I get what you mean, though. Like, I mean, with the, like, if Kirby like drops as a brick and then he knocks Buddy out of the frame, there can definitely be some, you know, hard feelings, a little bit of saltiness.
I'm Kirby's my guy, so yeah, they can't stand Kirby. They be jumping me because I'm so good.
Kirby's like, yeah, if you know you use Kirby, then you're definitely in there and you're winning more often than not. But you've been good with your time.
Right.
Anything you want to add as we're wrapping up here, man?
Yeah. Just shout out, you know, my gym, Genesis Training Center, Boulder Movement Collective, where I get my strength and conditioning, Denver Chiropractic, where I get my recovery, People's Insurance, one of my big supporters throughout my fight career. And shout out to all the vegans and vegetarians. And that's about it. Oh, yeah. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram at JetSetBanks. Twitter, CB_JetSetter, and Facebook, Carrington Jet Setter Banks.
Awesome. Great having Carrington Bates on the program. Big fight coming up against Adam Piccolotti, which goes at Bellator 199, a key lightweight bout happening on May 12th. Again, thanks for the time and the insights there, Carrington, and best of luck in the fight, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on. You have a great day, too.